So, well, one thing, first of all, before I get started, is we had a kind of a clandestine missions trip happen recently, and I wanted to throw up a picture. So if you could throw up the next picture. Don and Susanna, who are on the right over there, and Sharon Johnson, who is on the left over here, and that's Don on the bottom. They went to New Orleans, and there's still a lot of rebuilding going on in New Orleans, and they were there for a good bit and doing a bunch of amazing work. And I hope that we can put more pictures up, probably on our Facebook page. We have two Facebook pages. One's outward-facing, and one is sort of the in-house, where we just share things within the community. If you're not a part of that one, you could email info@solanochurch.org, and we'll get you connected up with that. But we'll be hopefully putting some more pictures of their trip. And like I say, it was not like an official sanctioned thing. They just kind of went off and did it, which is pretty cool. That's the kind of, as we talk about gospel incarnation and how we be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the place where we are, this is the kind of thing that we want to see, that we don't always just wait for, people to kind of send us out, but we just take advantage of the opportunities to serve around us. So that was really good. I wanted to share that with you. You can go on to the next slide. So the last 2 weeks in our study in the Gospel of Luke, we've been looking at how people respond to Jesus Christ. And in the first one, there were some temptations we looked at. We all have this temptation to sort of just awe or marvel at Jesus Christ and not really do anything with him. And there's this temptation then to delay, when Jesus comes into our lives or we encounter him through Scripture or in the body of Christ. There's this tendency that we can have to delay responding to him. And then sometimes we try in some sort of intellectual way, or we try to rationalize and dismiss Jesus' call upon our lives and kind of go a different direction because we don't want it, so we sort of rationalize. And so we saw these three different responses to Jesus 2 weeks ago. Last week we looked at sort of the positive side. How does God call us to respond to Jesus Christ? And there are a couple particular responses that were brought to the fore. And those are respond to Jesus in seeking his wisdom. What he says, what he teaches is the wisdom of God. And it's the wisdom we desperately need to navigate this world. And so the call was for us to approach Jesus with that attitude of humility, like the queen from Sheba, and to come to Jesus and ask him for his wisdom, to allow him to shape our lives and put together the pieces of our lives, that we might live in a way that we were intended to live. So we respond to Jesus by seeking his wisdom, and then we also respond through repentance, a very important piece of what it means to come to know Jesus Christ. We respond by repenting of sin, and what that really means, we talked about last week, was turning. Repentance simply means a turning, and so you're walking in this direction away from God towards various idols that we can put up. To repent is to turn your back on those idols and walk back towards Jesus Christ. It's to turn away from the things that draw us from God and towards God. That's what it means to repent. And it's a critical key part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So those were those two things. Today, what we're going to look at is kind of push this topic even a little bit further. And Jesus brings out just what I love metaphors. And he brings out just sort of this beautiful metaphor of what it means to receive the message and the ministry and the word of Jesus Christ. And then to let that come inside of us and transform us and then affect the way that we move through the world. So if you'd open with me to Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 33. Luke chapter 11, verse 33. If you need a Bible, you could raise your hand and we will pass one to you. Just raise your hand. On the Bible that we give out, it's page 743 that we're looking at. Luke 11, verse 33. Jesus says this. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket. Now, the word for basket there is kind of like a 2-gallon basket that would be used for corn. So you can picture something about this big. And so if you light a candle and you put that over top of it, obviously the light does not emanate. But the person puts this light on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Now, we need to get into the mindset of the day, right? We're so accustomed to flicking a switch and having a light go on. Everything lights up. And we walk around even at nighttime in the city. There's so many lights. We just take for granted the quantity of light. Obviously, in Jesus' day, it wasn't like that. In fact, I have a couple of pictures of the way homes were structured in that day. So if you could put those pictures up. And you get a sense of the kind of darkness issue here. This one on the left is a large home, but typical of the kind of way the homes were made. They were mud, brick, or stone, and there would be this courtyard in the middle, and then they would always have a space on top. They didn't just have, you know, a roof like we do. You could use the space. It was always kind of a platform where people could do things on. And the reason they did that is because of the light issue. Because when you have a stone house with little tiny windows, like you see in this picture on the left, on the left-hand side, you don't have much light inside. And in this picture on the right, you can see this is kind of a courtyard, a typical courtyard. And if you look through the doorways and the windows, what do you see? You see blackness, right? And this is in the middle of the day, or at least during the day. And so light was kind of a much more important kind of thing. They didn't take it for granted like we do, because there was so much darkness, and even their homes were not very lit. So the image is of a person who's walking into a house and needs the light to navigate their way. A guest, perhaps, who walks into a house they don't know, and they don't know where the furniture is, and so the light is necessary. You're kind of groping around. And in this process, Jesus brings out some of the amazing qualities of light. That light is essential, number one. It's essential to our ability to navigate the world, and it's also very much something that spreads. It emanates from a point, okay? And Jesus gives us this image of a lamp that's covered up, and it can no longer emanate. So those two qualities we're going to come back to, the essential quality of light and the way it spreads. Verse 34, your eye, Jesus goes on to say, is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. And that word healthy really is literally single or sincere. And so you could almost say, as one commentator does, he draws a contrast between singular vision and double vision. You know, when something's out of focus and you can't quite see because it's blurry. And so the idea is that if your eye is singular, if it's healthy rather than unhealthy, or even the word is evil, when your eye is bad, is what he says, then you'll be able to see properly. And so it's the connection of these two things. And this eye then, if it's properly focused, bathes the rest of the body in light. The eye properly focused then bathes the rest of the body in light. It's the central portion. It's the source of the light for the rest. But if the eye is unable to reflect properly, then the body does not get bathed in this light. Verse 35. Therefore, because this is the nature of reality, this is the way light and health and your walk and your spiritual walk works. Therefore, be careful, he says, lest the light in you be darkness. Now, it's interesting. This is the one sort of action point, the one command that Jesus gives us in this short little text we're going to read. The rest is about, here's how the world works. But then he says, because this is how the world works, be careful. We'll come back to what that means. Be careful. We'll come back to that. Verse 36. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. And once you've absorbed the light, it begins to reflect in all your parts, Jesus is saying. And when that happens, you become a lantern, a lamp, giving off light to the darkness, into the darkness around you, into the world around you. This should sound very familiar to us, because we've been talking in our study of the Gospel of Luke, Total Transformation, we've been talking about how the objects of God's transformative power become the agents of transformation. So as we absorb the light, and as we take it in and it begins to shine in us, then it begins to shine out of us, and we become objects or agents of transformation in the lives of others who need what? The light. So this is very much in line with all that we've been studying, but what I appreciate about it is just the power of these metaphors. And I want to talk about the metaphor a little bit this morning. I want to talk about light, I want to talk about eyes, and I want to talk about the body. Okay, so if you're taking notes, those are the three sort of boxes: light, eyes, and the body. Given the context, given the sections that have gone before us, when Jesus talks about light here, what most commentators believe he's referring to is the Word. Now, if you back up a little bit and you look in verse 28, for example, talking about true blessedness, but he said, that's Jesus, blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. And then in the next few verses, he talks about Jonah. Jonah was a man who went to Nineveh and preached the Word to Nineveh, and they responded in repentance. And then he talks also about Solomon. Solomon was a man of wisdom. He spoke words of wisdom. And so following that thread through, what you understand when you get to this section on the lamp is that what Jesus is talking about when he says this light, he's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the Word of Christ as it comes to us as we encounter him. Now, interestingly, Jesus says of Jonah and he says of Solomon, something greater than the word that they brought is occurring now. The words I speak are even greater than the words that they spoke. The ministry that I have is even greater than the ministry that they had. Jesus' words are light. Now, it was interesting because as we sang this morning, we kind of touched on this a little bit. There are other expressions of light in the New Testament, and Jesus, in fact, is called light. And he's also called the Word. Okay, especially in John. John wrote a little bit later than Luke, and I think there was this time for him to sort of ponder and reflect and put together some of the concepts in a little more profound and symbolic way. And he understood Jesus as light, and he understood Jesus as Word. And then we go all the way back to the book of Revelation. You get this sort of interesting concept that three times in the book of Revelation, Jesus is referred to as the one whose eyes are like flames. So, we are people who receive the light into our eyes, but Jesus, ultimately, is the one out of whom the light emanates. Okay, that's an important point. We're kind of more like moons than we are like suns. Okay, Jesus is like a sun, but we're more like a moon. We reflect the light that comes to us. Jesus emanates it from himself. But here in Luke, we're looking more at the light just simply being the Word of God. And so we're going to stick with that as we talk about light. Now, light's a remarkable thing, is it not? There's nothing faster than light. Well, sort of. Recent experiments, I don't know if you've been following the news, now they think they found something that might move a little bit faster than light, but regardless, light is really, really fast. Okay, 93 million miles from the sun, makes the trip in 8 minutes, comes into our atmosphere, bounces around, boom, boom, off this and that, you know, and then all amazingly finds its way into these little tiny holes in these eyes, which are already pretty small, and there's this little opening, and the light goes in there, and as it does its stuff inside of our eye, suddenly the world comes alive, and we can navigate through this complex world, and we can do it with incredible precision. In fact, they say that the if you were to convert the way we see into megapixels, like a camera, our eyes see somewhere on the range of 300 to 500 megapixel camera. I mean, that's pretty incredible. And all this happens through light as it enters into the world and then goes into our eyes. I mean, light is an amazing thing. And so here's this powerful metaphor, this concept of light. And Jesus is saying, my word is like that. My word that I have spoken is like light. The way it enters this world and it bounces around and reflects, and then you absorb it. You say, wow, that's cool. Here's light, this amazing thing. I mean, isn't light so wonderful? And Jesus is saying that his word is like light. Except that if we really go through the Bible and we understand it in its most profound description, we'd kind of go like this. Actually, God's word is even greater and more incredible than light itself. And light is just a kind of a metaphor for God's word and the greatness of God's word. Because we know that this world came into existence by the very word of God. See, it was the Word that preceded the light. The Word is the greatest thing. And we know that this world is sustained moment by moment because of the Word of God. The Word of God upholds the world. The breath in you is upheld by the Word of God. So light's amazing, but the Word of God is even more amazing. It's the source of it all. And Jesus wants us to understand that important truth because it is so easy in our world to denigrate the value of the Word of God, to see it as not so important. And so Jesus is calling us, reminding us, showing us, teaching us through this powerful metaphor the glory and the splendor and the grandeur of the Word of God. Now, because this is the case, because we're supposed to attribute to light this greatness and this splendor, then God has given us a way, He's equipped us with receptors of the Word, a way to receive the Word of God. Now, I don't know exactly how we want to talk about this, whether it's our heart or you want to talk about it as our soul, and Scripture talks about it in many different ways. But the point is that we are receptors of the Word of God. We can receive what God says. And what is being said in this text we're looking at is that the receptor that you have of the Word of God needs to be healthy. Be careful, he says, that it's healthy. Now, do you remember the Hubble telescope fiasco? Starting in the 70s, they released a ton of money, millions of dollars, to make this telescope that was going to be better than any other telescope because they were going to place it outside the atmosphere, and so it wouldn't have all the interference that comes with the atmosphere. And so they built this telescope starting in the 70s. It took them until 1990 to launch the thing and put it into space. And all these millions of dollars and all this effort, all this time, all these calculations, and they get the Hubble Space Telescope up into space, and it starts working and sending back pictures, and guess what? They're blurry. Because somebody failed to ground the mirror properly. After all that work, all that money, and all that time, the mirror, critical to the vision of the telescope, was improperly grounded. It was just off by a little bit. But because of that, it was much blurrier than they thought it would be. So all that effort, and they get these blurry sort of pictures back. Now, they were able to fix it. They actually sort of put glasses on the telescope. So they used a corrective lens to sort of account for the problem. And it's kind of funny, but it works. And so then now, for many years, they've been able to get extremely clear, the kind of clear pictures that they wanted to get to begin with. But when they first put it up there, they couldn't see like they wanted to. And Jesus is warning us that you and I, as human beings, we can be a little bit like that Hubble telescope, right? That we, you know, the people who got around Jesus, they walked a long way sometimes. They went through a lot of effort to get in his presence. They'd heard about him. But then standing there right in his presence, there they are where they want to be. And as we've seen from so many of the events that went before this, they didn't receive his word. They didn't receive it. They're standing right there. Right? They've gone through the effort, but they didn't receive it. And I think what Jesus is saying is that you and I can be like that as well. We can draw close to God. But even so, we can go through lots of effort. We can make sure we're in community. We can make sure we're attending a home group. But even so, our mirror can be out of focus. We're in the right place, but we're not receiving the word in the way it was intended to be received. There's a double focus going on there. There's a failure to be single-minded. There's some sort of blurriness that takes over. And Jesus is warning us that when we come near the word, come near carefully and listen carefully. I know that there's a lot of things that could be meant by these words, be careful, but a couple of them sort of arise out of the last few texts that we've looked at. Now, when we come to Jesus and we want to receive the light and we want to have it in focus, we know from the previous things we've looked at, there's a couple of ways we can approach it. We can come with what I would call a kind of presumptive defensiveness, or we can come with a kind of a humble openness. A presumptive, now the word presumptive, the root of that word in Latin means to take beforehand. And so sometimes we get ourselves in the right place, but before we really listen, we sort of have made up our mind. That's what presumption is. It's a kind of an arrogance. And Jesus is warning against that when we come to the Word of God or we come into the community of faith and we're exploring and listening to the Word of God. He's warning us against this kind of presumptiveness. You ever had that experience where you encounter somebody and you're in front of them, but you're not really listening? I had this happen. A lot of you are smiling. We do it all the time. It's just, it's human nature. I was in the back before church a few weeks ago, and Kevin is standing next to me, Kevin Pete, who often sits in the back and sort of helps with the stuff in the back, the Bible, passing out Bibles and stuff. And I kind of walk up beside him. I'm like, man, where's the tissue paper? We're supposed to have Kleenex here on the table, you know. And he looks at me and he goes, my sister-in-law died this morning. Now, did I feel like a heel or what, right? I'm worried about this other thing, but I didn't look him in the eye. If I'd have looked him in the eye, I would have seen that there was something going on there, right? And we can approach Jesus in a similar kind of a way, right? We're in front of him. We're where we're supposed to be. We're in his presence in a sense. You know, from the outside, it looks like we're there, but we're not really looking him in the eye. We're not really absorbing what he has to say. We're not being careful, as the text says. I think there's a couple of ways that this manifests itself. I mean, most of us, we would say, oh, I don't ever do that because I know what Jesus says is great and good, and I want to follow that. But I think sometimes this sneaks in on us a little bit, especially with those hard portions of Scripture, right? When we read something that's challenging to us, maybe the way the Scripture calls us to take care of the poor over and over and over again. And we don't want to read that for whatever reason. There's that presumptive sort of defensiveness. Or whether we come to the parts of Scripture that talk about our sexuality. There's a lot in the Scripture about our sexuality. And sometimes we don't like what it says. And so we put up a guard of defensiveness. And so we're in the presence of Jesus, but we're not really listening to what he's saying. There are many kinds of things that we approach the Bible with this kind of attitude. I wrote down some of the other ones. What about stewardship of creation? God calls us to take care of the world that he made. And sometimes we don't want to do that because it requires a sacrifice of us. And so we kind of defensive and we don't listen. What about evangelism? This whole thing in Scripture about sharing the love of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel with the people around us. That's a good one, isn't it? We like to run quickly over that one because it's hard and it stretches us. And so we're in the presence of Jesus, but we're not really listening. We're not really receiving what he's saying when he says, look, it's a matter of life and death. Go and share my gospel, my good news with the people around you, whether it be in your workplace or in your neighborhood or up and down your block or on your soccer teams or wherever it is. Share the good news of the gospel with these people, right? That's kind of one of those ones where we're in the room, but I'm not listening, right? And so Jesus is calling us, don't be that kind of a listener. Make sure your receptor is healthy. It's whole. It's singular. You're listening to my words, he says. What about caring for the unborn? I mentioned some of these last week or the week before. Or what about when Jesus calls us to be baptized and we read that and we go, I don't know, man, I feel like doing that. We kind of have this defensive kind of barrier that can come up. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, the light is coming. And I know you want the light. But if you want the light, you're going to need to be open to receiving it. And that requires some humility and some openness to the Word of God. Now, another way that this catches us by surprise, I think, is when the Word of God comes through a fellow brother or sister in Christ that we don't necessarily respect or have in sort of the right category. And so we put up a barrier to what they're saying. And what happens when the person who sort of bugs you or whatever tells you something really good and truthful? Do you receive it? Or do we block it out simply because we've got that person on the don't listen list? In the community of faith, we have to be so careful because the body is made up by Jesus Christ, and he brings all kinds of different people with different giftings and different message and different emphases, and we've got to be careful to listen humbly to one another. That's where the strength of the body is, when we can listen humbly to one another. But that's why Jesus says be careful, because he knows we have a tendency not to do that. Approach interactions with care. You don't know from which quarter God will bring the wisdom that you need. And those things that seem so impossible to believe, he's saying, approach it with care. Approach it with care. Do not lean over into defensive, arrogance. Now, this isn't to say that we don't ever get settled in our convictions. It's to say that we don't settle our convictions before we've had time to review the data. Now, it is something, it is key that we do settle in our convictions at some point, but that we also are open before we settle in those convictions. I think a lot of times what happens is we approach a topic before we've really researched it or understood it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Be careful. Receive the light. So we've got the light, we've got the eye, which is your receptor, and saying make sure that your receptor is healthy. And then we've got this third metaphor, which is the body. He says the body is like a lamp, it's like a lantern. Now what's a lantern? A lantern is a vessel for the dispersing of light. You put a lantern in a dark room because in the center of it is the source, and through the edges of it, the light is dispersed evenly throughout the room so that you can see. And Jesus is saying that our body is a lamp. It's a lantern for the light. Right after I returned to the Lord, I grew up in a Christian home, kind of some ways loosely, and it was in my junior year of college that while I had faith, I really hadn't taken it seriously, and sort of I came back to faith in that junior year and really became serious. And when I came back, I was in Spain. When I came back to the United States, I got into a camp where I was working with high school kids who would go to a Native American reservation every week, another crop of 70 kids. They'd work on homes and do rebuilding and construction. And then my job was to help them process what they were doing, to bring scripture into it, and sort of help them to think about how this transformative experience could be taken home with them. And one of the things that we did during that camp is at the very end, we had the kids take a colored piece of tissue paper. They would figure out what color it was, and they would write all their experiences on one sort of panel. They would divide it up into four squares. On the next panel, they would write maybe their family history. On the next panel, they would write, you know, maybe some understanding of their giftedness, their spiritual gifts, or their personality. And maybe their hopes and dreams. I don't remember what on the fourth panel. And they would take this tissue paper and construct a little frame, and then they would frame it up into a little box. And so we didn't tell them what we were doing with it. And then they would take this box, though, after everybody was done, we would unveil this set of bleachers that had candles all over it lit. And then in this sort of ceremony, they would all take up their little lantern and take it and place it over the candle. And by the end, you had 70 little lanterns sitting on in this dark room, and all of a sudden the room's becoming light, and all the light is emanating through the tissue paper, which has the description of each person and who they are. And it was a beautiful thing. I mean, it was for high school kids, and it was clear to them. They could understand. We could see the city set on the hill. And we're not going to do that today. It'd be kind of cheesy, I think, to do that. Ever since the song, This Little Light of Mine, like anything about that, you know, is cheesy. But it's actually biblical because that's the way it works. The light of Christ comes into us, and it emanates from who we are. And we're all so different. And we have so many different experiences and giftings. And it's unique. And the light emanates through that uniqueness and shines outward into the world that God made, which he says is dark in many respects. And that light scatters the darkness. And that's what Jesus is calling us to this morning. He's saying, be a person who shines brightly. And the way that you become a person who shines brightly, he says of us that the light is wholly bright, is that you first receive the light. You receive the light. You take it in. And some of us need to be a little more intentional about taking in the light of Jesus Christ, the Word of Jesus Christ, that we might shine a little more brightly in the world around us. And some of those things that God's called us to, and they're difficult, and we don't want to do them, it's because we haven't taken in enough light yet. We haven't taken in the Word. We haven't understood how important these things are to the heart of God and to us. We were at Trader Joe's a couple days ago, I think it was, and the kids were another sort of clandestine mission project. The kids were in front of Trader Joe's, and they were selling cookies to raise money for the Compassion Kids that we sponsor in Peru, so that we could buy Christmas gifts for the Compassion Kids. And I know a lot of you are sponsoring Compassion Kids. You probably got those letters. And so the kids were trying to raise money for this. And we're in Trader Joe's, and we're hanging out with the people. My wife goes there all the time, so now she knows all the people who work there and talks to them all. And one of the guys comes. She goes, "Oh, this is my husband I've been telling you all about." And, you know, so we talk a little bit. And we, in the course of the conversation, discover that he's part Peruvian. And I go, "Oh, our church is sponsoring now 45 kids in one village in Peru. And they're every month sending money so they can have food and clothing and all this kind of stuff." And as soon as I said that, you could see the light, right? The body of Christ at work in the world. And it's like, whoa, that's really cool. And so we had a little discussion about that. And it was this community, the light shining out of this community as we receive the light. And you think, where does that come from? And as I was walking away, I was tracing it back, and you want to say, oh, what a cool church. What cool people we are. And the answer to that is no, that's not where it comes from. It comes from the true source of light, who is Jesus Christ. And the only reason that this community of broken, dare I say, messed up people that we are, could do something beautiful that would shine in the darkness is because of Jesus Christ. Not because of any coolness or goodness inside of us. And the light of Jesus Christ is most manifest on that cross where he sacrificed himself for our sins, that we might be cleansed, and that through the cleansing and the washing away of our sin, we might be transformed. And as we're transformed, we become agents of his work in the world. And as we become agents of his work, filled with his light, only just emanating his light. See, we're moons. We're not suns. We're just moons. We just reflect the light of Jesus Christ. And the thunderbolt of that light was on the cross. And it still emanates the sacrifice. And so by his strength, by his power, we can make sacrifices, not buy as many cool things so that we can support a child in Peru. And we know it's just a drop in the bucket, but it's a little shaft of the light of Christ that has come inside and is bouncing around and then emanates outward. That's what's at stake, Jesus is saying. And this is right in line with our whole theme for this year, the gospel incarnation, that we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the places where we are. And the way that that happens is when we absorb the light of Jesus Christ. We're more like moons than we are like suns. When I was a kid, we used to watch TV quite a bit, and there was this commercial that would always come on. It was this Lamps R Us commercial, and it had this really terrible jingle. But the image in my mind, I just remember this scene. They would be panning through their sort of industrial-sized showroom, and they would just be lamp after lamp after lamp after lamp. And they were all different and unique and had a different sort of glow to them. And Jesus is saying this Lamps R Us thing. The church is kind of like that. It's like this Lamps R Us. There's a different glow. There's a different, you know, cover to each of the lamps. They shine differently, but they have the same light at the center. And it's the sacrificial light of Jesus Christ that emanates through the various bodies and scatters the darkness in this world. And what Jesus is asking us to do is to be committed to that work, to be committed to the work of shining in the darkness and scattering the dark away. And so I'm going to ask you to pray with us this morning that you, Jesus, would come into us in an especially brilliant way, that you would keep shining your light upon us. And I know that some of us sitting here this morning, we don't feel like we're shining any light to anybody because we're just overwhelmed with life. We're facing some obstacles and some circumstances that just involve all of our attention. And the light of Jesus Christ shines into those spaces through the Word and the wisdom of God. And so our first prayer is that, Lord, you would shine that light into us and that we would be open to receiving it. Some of us, myself included, we're approaching the task of knowing you in a casual manner. And we're not serious about seeking hard after you and being receptors of your light. And we need this morning to rededicate ourselves to studying your word. We need this morning to rededicate ourselves to the community, to being a part of a home group. We need to rededicate ourselves to seeking after you on our lunch break and memorizing scripture. We need to rededicate ourselves to being receptors of the light and experiencing the healing and the transformation that comes with that. And some of us this morning have had years and years and years of receiving the light of Christ, and yet we've got this basket over us. We're not sharing it with the people around us. And you're calling us this morning, Lord, to remove the basket and to let that light shine into our workplace, to stop being afraid of saying the name of Jesus where we work, to pray for the people in our neighborhood, to do some sort of radical service for the family member we know who's broken and needs the light of Christ, to be the light in their lives. And so, Lord, call us to those things, show us what they are, and empower us as we move forward. And may it be, Lord, that as this community continues to grow and absorb your light, that in this place, we know statistically there is so much darkness, that in this place your light might continue to grow, that we'd be that city set on a hill that you talk about in Matthew, and that the glory would be brought to the foot of the cross and to the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.